Good evening, Chairperson Khai.
Hi, Honorable Jungle. How are you doing?
Well,
Ambassador.
Well.
Hey.
How are you, the Ambassador?
I'm well, and you, Komekini?
Great. We are missing you this time, but we understood.
Yeah. It took me by surprise as well.
Hey. Be strong. Be strong, Honorable Jung.
Thanks.
Hey, it's my brother.
I'm really being...
My heartfelt condolences, Honorable Dango.
Thank you, Honorable
Chair. Sure, sorry.
Indeed.
She never really recovered from the time they entered our house to steal information. They didn't take anything else except computers and cell phones. So these were people seeking information, and they left us for dead.
Oh, she never recovered from there.
Never recovered from that, really.
Oh, sir. Sure. So sorry, man.
It's 18 hours.
Oh, thank you very much. good evening, honorable members. As we agreed last week, when we had a meeting to update each other about the preparations for the oversight visit to Cape Town CBD or Metro, as well as the West Coast District. We had indicated when we were also adopting the TEDCAM program that we would also have a meeting to consider the report of the oversight visit that we undertook to KZN and Gauteng provinces. Because the report, we indicated that the meeting would take place on Tuesday, but the report was not necessarily ready to be circulated to members on time. So we agree with the staff or community secretary that the meeting should be this evening, and we communicated that to honorable members. Let me formally open the meeting and welcome everybody. Special welcome to Honorable Dango, who has lost a partner, a wife. We have expressed our condolences to him and also to his family and the relatives, and wish him to be strong during this difficult time or period. We hope that God will give him strength and courage. You are welcome, Honorable Dango. When I spoke to him last night, was not expecting him to be part of the meeting, but we appreciate that he has joined this meeting. We also welcome other honorable members who unfortunately will not be able to be part of the oversight visit. I see, Honorable, if I'm correct, I see there's Brenda's. I assume that it's Honorable Brenda Matebu. We also welcome her to this meeting. Our staff welcome the committee secretary, Denise Zulu. We also welcome the media.
Honorable Chair?
Also. Hello.
I noticed last night when I was in the meeting that the reception, the connectivity is not that good. Maybe people are sick because there's a disruption and disconnection. So maybe if you can switch off your.
Oh, yeah.
It will be much more better. That's what I realized yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me switch it off. Okay. So, thank you. Has it improved now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, Chair. We can hear you.
Okay.
All right. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. No, thank you very much. Without wasting time, can we then perhaps deal with the internal matters such as those who are present, and if there are any apologies, we deal with that, with those committee secretaries.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Chair, I can hear you. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, Chair. We haven't received any apologies, but there is a standing apology from Honourable Lansman. But in terms of members present, we've got Honourable Dango, Honourable Matavula, Honourable Mashodi, Honourable Moimang, Honourable Mamarahana, Honourable Bratase.
Okay. So maybe I should add the apology of Honorable Launch. We had tabled his apology on our first day of the oversight visit that he is isolating. So I thought that let me also table his apology. Thank you very much. I think we can now start then with the meeting. Our meeting is about the consideration of the oversight visit report to KZN and Gauteng. I would then ask Mr. Zibele Ngise, our committee researcher, who was present in the visit to KZN and Gauteng, to take us through the report in a summary form, and then take us through the observations and the recommendations. Over to you, Mr. Zibele.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon, Honorable Members, and to my colleagues and to other attendees of the meeting. Like the chair says, my name is Zibele Ngwishe. I'm the committee researcher for the Select Committee on Small Business, the DTIC and other departments. Well, without further ado, honorable members, let me just zoom straight into the task at hand. Members will know that on the week of the 3rd to 6th August, the Portfolio Committee on Small Business from the National Assembly, together with the Select Committee, our Select Committee, and the DTI and the Portfolio Committee on DTI, Trade Industry and Competition, embarked on a two-leg visit to KZN and the Gauteng provinces. Well, we'll appreciate that the visit was influenced by the events that happened in July with regards to looting and vandalism of property. So this type of social unrest was caused, among other things, the conviction of the former president in respect of respect of his contempt of court, that is the constitutional court. So this triggered a lot of unrest in the country and violence. So I think the media was abuzz with all those issues. I won't go down into the detail of that. And then, the province of Gauteng, of KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. In fact, the violence started in KwaZulu-Natal on the 9th of July, 2021, and then it moved to Gauteng on 11th July, 2021. So, in essence, the authorities in both provinces estimated the damage in terms of loss of human life to 340 people who were confirmed dead, and 3,410 people were arrested. So it really upset the economy in a bad way. Particularly, it affected the informal traders and small businesses in the country, as well as big business, was not spared from the looting and violence. So government institutions such as the South African Special Risk Insurance Association.
There's a noise from the presenter. Maybe you should just switch his camera off. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Honourable Member. So essentially, the South African Special Risk Insurance Association, under the auspices of the National Treasury, which is the insurance institution covering the small businesses and big business, especially under the events of riots, together with the South African Property Owners Association, as well as the SSA, quantify the damage that was caused by the violence in KZN and Gauteng. So this damage was estimated that 200 malls were affected and over 1,000 stores were looted and 100 were completely burned down, with more than 20 billion accounted for in damages. And on top of that, 50,000 informal traders were left stranded and 50,000 small businesses were affected in a bad way. And essentially 150,000 jobs were jeopardized. So a number of factories were tossed and gutted down by the violent social unrest in the country, particularly in those two provinces. And as a result, a very busy national road, which is very critical for the heartbeat of the Gauteng and KZN economy, that is N2 and N3, were grounded to a halt. And it affected the supply chains and associated industries. Yes, and then in response to that, government, through the President of the Republic, announced a number of measures to try and deal with the damage at hand. As a result, Sasria, the President announced that Sasria will form a key part of the intervention strategy in respect of uninsured businesses as well as insured businesses. So sorry, only insured businesses, those who qualify, those who meet the qualifying criteria of SASRIA will be assisted. And then the president also announced a package of 38.9 billion, which will be funded within the current MTF budget, across the various government departments, particularly in the economic cluster. So in essence, government will make available an amount of 3.9 billion through SASRIA so that the government can protect the liquidity of that particular entity. So the president also announced that those businesses that are not insured, including a number of small and medium-sized businesses, whether for example, as we travel through the province of KZN, members witnessed for themselves the damage that was done in the Isipingo area of Durban, where a number of informal traders lost almost everything.
Sorry, Mr. Can you also direct
the page number?
Yes, please, so that because we are still on page one, but you are continuing. On the slide, we are still on page one. So if you can also direct the host.
Okay, I will do that. In essence, my approach to this presentation, Chair, is that I won't be reading word for word on the report, and under the assumption that members find opportunity to read through the report. I thought, in essence, I will have to dwell much on the observations and recommendations of the report. So my colleague who's sharing the screen, I will also direct to the page numbers where I am in the report.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Right now I'm on page 4 of the report. I will deal with the objectives of the fact finding. I think this section, I must try and read as it is, what is very critical in the report as to what the joint committee is intended to do during this fact-finding oversight stroke mission. So the aim of the visit was to evaluate the extent of damage to property, supply chain disruptions, and degree of business interruption, specifically to SMMEs and informal trading sector. So the Parliament's Select Committee on Trade, Economic Development, Small Business, Tourism, Employment and Labour, together with the Portfolio Committee on Small Business, undertook this fact-finding mission with the intention of obtaining first-hand knowledge and assess the gravity of the impact of the looting and violence on the small enterprises operating in the informal trading sector, issuance or renewal of permits and support measures by respective municipalities during this period of crisis. On this one, members would note that the president make a pronouncement to say the small businesses would be given a leeway by not paying for the renewal of permits up until December 2022. So essentially, the municipalities are at liberty to issue permits without expecting hassle-free issue of permits. So the fact-finding mission also aims to assess the state of small enterprises and informal traders, and also interact with businesses and the business committees that were subjected to this The oversight will also provide the Department of Small Business and its respective entities, as well as other an opportunity to showcase their product and service offerings and be able to disseminate information on financial and non-financial support given to the stakeholders in the small business sector. The oversight will also aim to enhance cooperation and coordination between all spheres of government in developing a common standardized approach and response to the sector, and to enable the affected groups to speak for themselves. I think in this regard, the district development model will become a key instrument to achieve this particular objective. So the mission also aims to compile and present a report, which is before the honorable members, so that the report can inform any type of parliamentary intervention on the violent looting and vandalism to property. So I will quickly run, I'm on page 5 now, I'll quickly run through the representative of the honorable members, all the politicians that were part of the delegation from various political parties. I will quickly run through the names so that members can note whether their names have been recorded correctly. Members who attended the oversight was the Honorable Chairperson, Mr. Khai, and the Honorable Chairperson, Mr. Moimang, Honorable Mr. Dango, and Honorable Ms. Boshoff, Honorable Mr. Brotasas, and Honorable Suwela from the Portfolio Committee. From the Portfolio Committee, the delegation was led by Ms. Suwela, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Small Business, the Honorable Mr. Jacobs, and Mr. April, and Mr. Tomelang, sorry, Ms. Tomelang, and Mr. Kruger, and Mr. De Villiers, Ms. Matulelwa, Mr. Zungula, Mr. Henry. So the report notes the political, the organization that the members are representing in Parliament. So the other committee that was part of the oversight was this Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, Trade, Industry and Competition, led by the chairperson, Mr. Dean Kosi. And part of the delegation was also Ms. Herman, Ms. Moate, Ms. Tembuyane, Ms. Mutaung, Mr. Ngamashe, Mr. Kaspet, Mr. McPherson, Ms. Yako, Mr. Mulder, Mr. Tring, and part of the staff members who were part of the delegation was Mr. Kunene, the committee secretary to the Small Business Portfolio Committee, and Mr. Gumede, appointed advisor to the same committee, and Ms. Klesha, the secretary to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Mr. Dodo, committee assistant, Mr. Nguise, the committee researcher for Small Business Select Committee, Mr. Madima, committee secretary for the DTIC Portfolio Committee, Ms. Madalane, the committee researcher for DTIC Portfolio Committee, and Ms. Manakaza, the committee assistant. I hope this representation is a true reflection, members, of the participants, or rather attendees of the oversight. Now, in terms of the entities that were part of the representation, we had the Department of Small Business, Small Enterprise Development Agency, KZN, and Gauteng Department of Economic Development, King Petroleum District Municipality, and Umhlatu, the local municipalities, Ilembe District Municipalities, the municipality, Kwadukuza, local municipality, Ilembe Economic Development Agency, Ethekwini Metropolitan Municipality, Ekurhuleni Metropolitan Municipality, City of Johannesburg Municipality, Metropolitan Municipality. Now, honorable members, we are on page 7 now. Well, the fact-finding visit to KwaZulu-Natal, which was the first leg of the visit, the joint oversight committees elected to visit King Petra District Municipality, where there was a lot of prevalence for this violent looting and vandalism to property and obliterating of livelihoods and small business in that part of the region. So in under King Cetuayo, the oversight focused on Umhlatuze local municipality. The oversight visited Enseleni, among other places, under Richards Bay and Empangin, and Kwadukuza under Ilembe District Municipality. So, honorable members, it's important to note that the delegation of the Joint Oversight Committee was well received by the local political leadership from the King Kwetwa District Municipality, as well as the Ilembe and the Kwadukuza local municipalities. So before we start our meetings, the honorable chairpersons hotels, Mr. Violet Suwela and Mr. Manda Khai, as well as Mr. Tumangosi, would provide the purpose of the visit. And after of course being welcomed by the local political leadership in the form of executive mayor or the deputy mayor. So the members were welcomed, and then the quarters, one of them would give the purpose of the visit before the economic units and the other provincial entities would brief the joint committees on the extent of damage that is caused by this violent looting and vandalism to property in KZN. Let me run straight on our members. We'll start wasting time. I'm on page 9 now. So in essence, the district that was visited was city of Mthatha-Tuze due to its strategic importance to the regional economy of KZN, as well as the national economy through the, and as we appreciate that Mthatha-Tuze is the host of an important port of Richards Bay, which is a gateway to the African continent. So it was seriously disrupted in its activities. So the delegation made a turn to Nkeleni, Welezane and Eskaleni townships to see for themselves the consequences of the destruction to property and small business. So suffice to say that Parliament was escorted by the protection services in partnership with the local South African Police Service and the members of the traffic departments in various municipalities that were visited. Now, on Seleni Township, under the city of Mthatha-Tuze, the members were received by the Honorable Mayor, Councillor Mduduzi Mhlongo. Some of the malls that were visited, which have been looted and obliterated, were Boxer Store, Pep, Techie Town, and small businesses around these shopping centers, and also the ATMs, auto teller machines, were vandalized and looted. And after the vandalism and looting, the instigators would set the shopping centers alight and gutter them down. And so in Welezane, the delegation stopped by the Welezane township on the outskirts of Mpangeni. And so the economic life of that particular region was affected due to road blockages and attack to transport vehicle transporting people and essential goods to that particular area. And businesses like Engine Garage were vandalized, and OK Grocery Supermarket and as well as the franchises like Debonair's Pizza were also vandalized and looted. So with the delegation, like I indicated earlier on, the delegation was accompanied by the Department of Small Business entities like CIFA and CIDA, who were given an opportunity to reflect on how they will respond to the damage that has been caused to SMMEs. So the delegation moved to Eskaleni, which is about 20 kilometers away from Mbangeni. And the members saw for themselves the level of vandalism and criminality that happened in that particular area. For example, ShopRite chain store, food chain store, and the Mr. Price clothing retailer, Dance, Weber, Spa and Spare food outlet were vandalized, with commercial banks affected through the vandalism of their ATMs. So in essence, the population of over 120,000 was affected in that particular area. And accordingly, the estimated financial loss was estimated at 220 million, only in the city of Mthatha-Tuze alone. And then the delegation moved to Ilembe District Municipality. So in that part of the province, the N2, the N2, which traverses the district municipality of King Cetshwayo to the south in Durban and north to Richards Bay, was also disrupted, affecting 11 district municipalities. And so in Wadukuza local municipality, there were serious disruptions in terms of economic activities. And then we moved to Wadukuza. In Wadukuza CBD, we went to Shaka's Scroll. Shaka's Scroll, the members saw for themselves the damage and vandalism that happened to Wadukuza Mall in Shaka's Scroll, as well as USAID, PEP, and Shopra that were looted and set alight. And a total of 234 businesses, including ATMs or petrol bombs, and gutter through fire. So the economic loss in that particular region was estimated at 240 million, with about 1,500 jobs being wiped out. And then the following day, we went to the city of Etekwini, the city of Durban, Etekwini Metro Municipality. I'm on page 13 now, Madia. So Etekwini was one of the metropolitan areas that was seriously affected in the whole of this vandalism and social unrest. So Durban received bore the most brunt of vandalism and criminality. So the economic impact was estimated by Councillor Honorable Ngoli Sikaunda, who welcomed the members. No, the members were welcomed by the deputy mayor on behalf of the executive mayor. And the damage was estimated at 20 billion. That's for the Durban Metro City alone. And then we went to the affected site after being briefed by the political leadership of Durban Metro. And then we went to visit Isipingo. Isipingo is just outside Durban, along N2. So there, members met with a litany of informal traders who reported that they've lost everything through the blaze of fire, which was instigated by the people who orchestrated this looting and vandalism. So the councillors of Durban City, together with the Economic Development Unit, as well as CIDA and CIFA, committed to assist the affected informal traders by means of applying for the available business support packages that are offered by Department of Small Business through this entity. And then the delegation went to KwaMashu, Emahawini Business SMME Hub, where the members saw for themselves the damage that has happened to that particular township. For example, there was a BP garage that we went to, which is a filling station, and some a kiosk shop. That was damaged and vandalized. It was the extent of damage was surprising. The looters even siphoned petrol, or rather fuel, from the underground storage facilities, and the petrol pumps were also gutted down and destroyed. And those businesses who had insurance were referred to approach Safaria. And Safaria has been encouraged to attend with immediate effect, or rather expedite the turnaround time of the application for claims. So those who without insurance would be assisted by the packages made available through CIDA and CIFA. And then the delegation moved to Gauteng on the 5th of August. In fact, we flew on the 4th, and then on the 5th of August, we started in Gauteng at a rural metropolitan municipality. I'm on page 17 now. In Ekuru rural municipality, the delegation was welcomed by the political leadership of the city, Ekuru rural metro city, under the stewardship of a member of mayor committee, Mr. Pakaza. And so the members received a briefing there, and then we moved to the affected site. So our first stop was at the Cambridge Center, a Sangweni taxi rank, and the Tembisa Plaza. So the members saw for themselves the extent of damage that has happened in that taxi rank and the other business in the periphery of the taxi rank, with other small traders, including informal traders. Their stock was vandalized and their storage facilities were destroyed. And the members of the informal traders, that is the hawkers, also raised some concerns to members regarding the lack of communication between the city of Ekurhuleni and the business stakeholders around the city. So they were also complaining that they are not receiving the business permit, and they under the instruction by the president that the small businesses and informal traders will be issued with a permit. So the members noted that the city need to move with speed to issue those permits. We also moved to Mayfield Square in Davyton, and we moved to the mall, the Katlehong Mall in Davyton, and the members saw the level of vandalism. And also we also moved to Sontonga Mall in Katlehong, where a number of retail shops were destroyed and gutted through fire, as well as the ATM. Essentially, what the members have noted, the vandalism and looting was well orchestrated, and it was not done by the ordinary members of society. There was a specialized team, by the look of things, was the instigators would come and forcefully open the businesses and then open a floodgate for members of the community to loot the shops, furniture shops, clothing companies, and even the warehouses. Once that group is done, then the other group will come and set the facilities alight to make sure that they are gutted down. We also moved to Jules Street in Malvern. Here the cars were tossed from the car dealers, and big damage was big damage occurred to the car retail industry. We also moved to Pan Africa Mall in Alexandra Township, to Sandton, and the delegation directed with the informal traders around the Alexandra Mall. And members, we also moved to Jabulani Mall in Soweto, where members were interacting with the owner of that mall, Dr. Mike Nguna, who's the chairperson chief executive of the Masingita Group. So Dr. Nguna took the members through a presentation around the damage that is occurred in that particular mall. And then we moved to Cape Town in Soweto. And then members were briefed by the small retail shop, that is food outlet, that is owned by the football legend. The name of the business enterprise is called Sportman, which is based in Cape Town. And the delegation also moved to AA2 Orange Farm Mall and Pulse Springs Mall in Orange Farm Township. So members also saw for themselves the level of damage to infrastructure and property. And the business operators in that particular mall, some of them indicated that they do have some insurance and others not have insurance. And others, one of the group, some of the group members of the business community, they would have insurance, but then there would be shortfalls in terms of what has been insured in the business enterprise. So they wouldn't claim for the whole damage. So there would be shortfalls. And in that case, the SIDA entity would assist them in applying for the blend and finance, which is in the form of a grant, as well as the loan, which is 60% grant and 40% loan. So the total value of that particular fund that they can apply for is having a threshold of 2 million. So let me quickly conclude, honorable members, by also highlighting the briefing that was received by the joint committees on the 12th of August, 2021. I'm on page 23 now, Madhya, the briefing by Sasria. Sasria, which is the entity of the National Treasury, briefed the honorable members from the three committees of parliament and indicating the nature of cover that they have with businesses, which means they only cater for political riots. So we'll appreciate that this Sasria was conceived after the event of June 16, 1976, the Soweto uprising. So it triggered that government should have an insurance package of this nature in the form of Sasria. And this is a section, this is a Schedule 3B of the Public Finance Management Act type of entity. So they quantified the financial loss across KZN and Gauteng was estimated to be in the excess of 20 billion. And Sasria would play its a fundamental role in terms of funding some of the damage to the processing of legitimate claims to the qualifying businesses. And also the announcement made by the president that Treasury would make available 3.9 billion to cushion the entity from the potential liquidity challenges. And the businesses were advised to report to Sasria within the period of 30 days of the events of looting and violence and destruction to property, so that their processes, the applications can be processed in due course. So essentially, the members observe that Sasria is not a very popular insurance company, particularly to SMMEs. SMMEs are not aware of this type of insurance cover. And surprising, this cover is very cheap and highly affordable, even to SMMEs. And even informal traders can afford this type of cover. So the SMC, the CEDA and the CEDA and the small business were advised to ramp up awareness campaigns and share information with the stakeholders in the sector of SMME. Let me run quickly, honorable members, to committee observations and recommendations that were made by honorable members of the select committee on small business, DTI, DTIC and other sector departments. The following are the observations made by the committee. Number one, I will appeal to members that I read these ones because they form a very critical part of the report, but I will try to run very quick. Madhya, I'm now on page 27. The Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition and the Minister of Small Business Development through their development agencies such as CIDA, CIFA, and NEF, National Empowerment Fund, should work in a coordinated manner with SASTRIA to intensify financial literacy and empowerment campaigns targeting small businesses and informal traders. Such programs should find expression in the expenditure plans of the respective departments and development agencies, including expenditure plans of SASRIA. The Financial Literacy and Empowerment Initiative should get the necessary support from the National Treasurer. Observation number two, the committee further recommends, I think they've been mixed with these recommendations of the vision. The committee further recommends that the provincial and local government departments responsible for growth and development of SMEs should support and promote the financial literacy and empowerment initiative targeting SMEs. Across the spheres of government, development agencies responsible for the growth and expansion of SMEs should promote and support small enterprises for the uptake, or rather to uptake SASRIA insurance. Number three, over the 2021 medium term, SASRIA should accelerate the rollout of insurance products that would service underserved communities. Number four, on the evidence or information committees gathered on the ground, magnitude of disruption to property, scope of business disruption, and number of displaced informal traders, the allocation of 2.3 billion is welcomed, but the committee noted that it's not adequate. There is a need for the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition and the Minister of Small Business Development to engage with the Minister of Finance for the provision of additional funds within the fiscal framework to support the affected SMEs and small traders, or to find alternative financing and funding to assist the affected SMEs, particularly the uninsured enterprise. Number five, working with provincial and local government, both the Minister of DDIC and the Minister of Department of Small Business Development should accelerate and streamline payment processes. Over the 2021 medium term, number six, all spheres of government should tackle regulatory constraints that are hindering the operations and expansion of small traders. Number seven, the Minister of Small Business Development, working closer with the spheres of government, other spheres of government should concretize and lead measures to improve relationships with the shopping centers, supermarkets, and informal traders. Larger scale supermarkets have sought to make inroads into township economy to capture a share of the food market, which was historically served by micro enterprises and informal food traders. The district development model provides a useful framework for such relationships to be forged, while the use of public-private partnerships may also be considered. Shopping malls must be seen to be adding value to the communities in which they operate, not just in terms of employment, but also in terms of access to market and reduce the market competition. Number eight, further, the Minister of Small Business Development through the department should give a serious consideration to the reinstatement of the shared economic infrastructure facility, which may address a number of infrastructure-related complaints by informal traders, such as the ablution facilities, restrooms, and storage facilities. In addition, that's the recommendation number nine. In addition, the committee encourages the Department of Small Business Development to work in a collaborative, I would use manner, honorable members, in a collaborative manner with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to roll out working assets for small enterprises and informal enterprises. The Minister, number 10, the Minister of Small Business Development is urged to accelerate the process of reviewing the Business Act. I guess they wanted to say the Small Business Act. In reviewing the Small Business Act.
Sorry, can those changes be made now?
Yes, sir.
And also, you were saying on 9 instead of effort should be manner.
The manner, yes, sir.
Yeah, on 9, Matthew.
Yes.
Okay.
So number 10, the Minister of Small Business Development is asked to accelerate the process of reviewing the Small Business Act of 1991 over the 2021 medium term. The Minister of Small Business Development through the Department of Small Business Development. On this one also, Chair, I would use through the department because it will be tantamount to tautology if we use this Department of Small Business again. I think the Minister of Small Business Development through the department and we kill the Small Business Development because it will be repetition.
Can you read it again so that there could be changes?
Yes, the Minister of Small Business Development.
Slowly.
Okay, sir. The Minister of Small Business Development is urged to accelerate the process of reviewing the Small Business Act of 1991.
Why don't you say should instead of say is urged? Should accelerate.
Yeah, I think you're right, sir. Let's use should accelerate. What's the recommendation? Should accelerate the process of reviewing the Small Business.
Must delete to Madia after should. Delete to. No. Yeah, on the same sentence. Yes, correct. Okay, can you read it again?
Well, recommendation number 10,
yes.
The Minister of Small Business Development should accelerate the process of reviewing the Small Business Act of 1991, also over the 2021 medium term. The Minister of Small Business Development through the department should introduce a new bill, I suppose you want to say. Should introduce a new bill. Should introduce a new bill to Parliament. A new bill to Parliament that would address the regulatory impediment affecting. We kill that, then we put affecting small enterprises and full stop.
Okay.
The report to be considered. Thank you, honorable members. This is your report. And thank you for the opportunity to present the report to the NRF members. I will hand over back to you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mwise, for taking us through the report. Honorable members, before we adopt the report, are there any comments or additions before we vote on the adoption of the report?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Honorable Wema.
Just for on one point on the part that deals with Mr. Kwamashu around the fuel station that was gutted. I thought I had Mr. Sibele saying that the looters succeeded in stealing fuel from the underground. I thought what Imagine Retailer said was that that was an attempt, but however, in terms of the system,
the technology
of the technology.
Yes.
Once there was a challenge, the cutting, the system per se locked itself. So therefore, the stealing of the fuel or the sitting light could not have happened. I mean, especially the stealing or the draining. I'm not sure for that you understand me, Chair.
No, I fully agree with you, Chair, on that. Yeah. I also heard him. He was making a mistake. Because they could not. But can we perhaps go back to that particular and see if he was reading directly from the script, or he was maybe putting his own views? If you can go to that, Mati. It could be that he was.
No, Honorable Chair. Let me just indicate that I was not reading the report verbatim.
Yeah.
I was just talking over. The issues as I understood them. Suffice to say, I remember in that particular site, I was a bit lost trying to find the delegation. I think that...
Can you go to KZN, Madia, under Kwamashu?
But it's not in the report, that one, Jay.
I know, want to double check. Want to make sure. Yeah. Okay. There, Amasu. Okay.
Now that I'm comfortable, Chair, on the correction. Thanks.
Okay. Now that.
But I think other than that, Chair, the report correctly captures the true reflection of what transpired on those 4 days from our first engagement and right up to Orange Farm and the briefing by Sasria. So therefore that was one aspect that was requested by that MMC in Ekurhuleni, which obviously was informed by the sense that our focus was more on informal traders. One of the issues that he said was that, look, it might be important, and that was his request, that at some point we convene a meeting with the chamber of business chambers, the emerging business chambers, and he even indicated that through his work, he has a network, which to me was quite important, because we need to augment, I think, the work that we are doing, not only to focus on informal traders. So it's one of the core recommendations, definitely, that one might say it's a take home, Chair. But beyond that, I'm happy with the report, because it correctly captures what transpired. So therefore, I'll move for the adoption of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe Zibele, can you include that aspect, or and perhaps as a recommendation to the Minister of Small Business Development, in collaboration with the Minister of Trade and Industry, so that they convene. Such a meeting, which will then automatically be attended by these business forums and also the committees, the relevant committees of Parliament. Okay. Are there any other comments, honourable members? If not, then we go to deal with the report in terms of Rule 155, which I'll read as follows. It's under the heading Quorum and Decision, because we're now going to take a decision. First of all, Mattia indicated that we do have a quorum. That aspect is dealt with. It says, except when a question is decided, business may proceed irrespective of a number of members present. Two, when a question that does not fall under Section 75 of the Constitution is to be decided, A, committee members represented at least five provinces or six provinces in the case of constitutional amendment must be present. And B, question is decided by a supporting vote of at least five provinces or six provinces in the case of a constitutional amendment. So, honourable members, we will then have to all vote either in favour or against. But if there are five provinces that are voting in favour, then the report will then be adopted. But if we get less than five provinces voting for the report, then the report cannot be adopted. Can I then start and ask members to cast their votes in favor of the report? Those who are voting in favor, can they please raise their hand, use their device function? But if you can't, then you can indicate.
Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes, I vote in favor because something happened with my screen, but I vote in favor.
Okay. Any other person? Honorable Mushodi, you usually also have a challenge with your device. Sorry. Okay, I can see your hand, Honorable Mamarakhane. Can you check, Honorable Mushodi?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I vote in favor.
Oh, you're voting in favor. Okay.
Yes, Chair. Thank you.
I've also raised my hand. So there are three hands that have been shown together with the Honorable Kenny Mwimang and Honorable Mushodi. That gives us five provinces voting in favor. Can we then lower our hands?
It's 19 hours.
Those that are voting in favor, can they lower their hands so that we check those that, who are voting against? Can we have those who are voting against raising their hands? Okay, no one. Can we get those that are abstaining? There's no one. So I take it that then the report has been adopted because there are five provinces have voted in favor of the adoption of the report. Thank you, honorable members. I would ask also the content advisor to assist with the cleanup of the report. I saw some spelling mistake. Instead of hawkers, it will say walkers. Before then it is ATC. We would have request that at least by tomorrow it should be sent to the relevant processes for it to be ATC, because I saw that there will be debate in terms of the program of the NCOP. There will be debate around the issue of the unrest, looting and destruction of infrastructure in KZN and Gauteng. I think before that debate, the report should have already been the ATC. So I just want to make that request then to Ludumo, the content advisor, to also assist in the cleanup of the report before it is sent for it to be 86. Honourable members, there being no further issues on the agenda, I will then declare the meeting closed. Those who are part of the oversight will be moving to the tourism project tomorrow. Yeah, but as I indicated earlier, that we will also be having a plenary session in the morning. I was checking with Zama for the link, but you are saying that it's going to be sent. I'm not sure. I'm not checking my emails now. Maybe by the time we finish with the meeting, then I'll check also the emails and see if the link has been sent. Thank you very much, honorable members, and good evening.
Thank you very much.
So thank you very much. Bye-bye.